I would like to bring a context first so that we can understand thoroughly what is this intervention of Ghana Land. Ghana Land is a municipality in the Western Cape Land. What transpired, like, it started on the 7th December when the Provincial Executive Council of the Western Cape decided to invoke the provisions of Section 139, Subsection 5 of the Constitution in Ghana Land. What Section 139.5 stipulates is that if a municipality, as a result of a crisis in its financial affairs, is in a serious or persistent material breach, that means the municipality is failing to meet its service delivery obligation, and number two, the municipality is failing to meet its financial commitments. By financial commitments, we mean the municipality is able to pay its creditors. Then the provincial executive may intervene in terms of Section 1395 by imposing a recovery plan that will enable to assist the municipality to move from the financial crisis. To give a background as to what is the situation when it comes to financial performance of Ghana Land, members will recall that in 2012-2013 financial year, the municipality received an adverse audit finding from the Auditor General. By adverse audit opinion, we mean the municipality, its financial statements were misrepresented and did not accurately reflect the financial position of the municipality. And also in 2013-2014 and 2014-2015, the municipality received a financial unqualified audit. But again, for the 2015-2016, which is the most recent audit finding, the municipality received an adverse finding. What is important when it comes to Section 139, Subsection 5, is mainly governed by two conditions. Number one, if there's a serious persistent breach of the obligation to provide basic services. Number two, if the municipality is unable to meet its financial commitments. And then Section 1395 can happen by invoking a financial recovery plan. But however, there are procedures that regulate the application of Section 1395, which is mainly the obligation to not to provide basic services because of the financial affairs in the municipality. Firstly, when the province intervenes in any municipality based on 1395, it must submit a written notice to the relevant provincial legislature in that province, as well as to the NCOP, within 7 days after the intervention began. And then Section 139, Subsection 6 of the Constitution imposes that notification requirement, meaning the primary legislation, which is the Constitution, mandates provincial legislatures when they invoke this subsection to notify the NCOP within 7 days. However, when we assess the documents as to when the NCOP was informed by the Provincial Executive Council of the Western Cape, it has been identified that it was notified by the 21st December, while the intervention started on the 7th of December, meaning it was informed 14 days after the intervention has begun, which is very critical, which is critically important that the written notice of intervention, which must be submitted within 7 days, decides the constitutionality status of any intervention. Members will recall this was a similar case that happened in Makana, where in terms of Section 139(1)(b), where the requirement of notification is 14 days, but Makana Municipality notified the MCOP after the 14 days. It was Section 139(1)(b). In this case, Section 139, Subsection 5, requires a notification of 7 days. Procedures when in terms of the application of intervention are very important, because these matters are contested sometimes in court. So Parliament has a requirement to adhere to the primary legislation which governs intervention, which is the Constitution in this case. So to summarize the whole procedural aspect on what has transpired regarding the Gunderland issue is that it is not procedurally correct to the extent of the intervention was not consistent with the Constitution in terms of the requirement for the notification of the NCOP. Subsection 139, subsection 6 talks about the notification of the NCOP. And then if then that's the case, what is also important, besides procedural requirements which were not met, there's another important aspect that I want to bring to the attention of the honorable members. It does not absolve Okanye. It doesn't mean there are no challenges in Gunderland. They may have not met the procedural requirements, but there are still challenges in the municipality. But in terms of how the intervention was processed procedurally, it was inconsistent. But I'm saying there are still challenges in the municipality. And then the remedy in this situation is either the Provincial Executive Council may resubmit this intervention notice within the procedural window of 7 days. But the committee also, we have an obligation, I believe, to go and meet the people of Gunderland together with the MEC to thoroughly engage on the service delivery issues which are mandated by the financial challenges in the municipality. Because procedures sometimes can be met afterwards, but again, the challenges are still there. People of Gunderland are suffering as a result of the financial obligations of the municipality in terms of paying its creditors and fulfilling its basic services requirements. So there's another issue at hand also that we need to engage after the procedural aspect that has not been met. But again, as Mr. Manele have said, this notice has been forwarded to this committee for consideration and reporting. Then it follows suit the recommendation that could be made then to the NCOP based on the obligation of this committee to thoroughly engage on this matter, is to say this intervention is not consistent with the Constitution because of procedural grounds. But again, the committee can make a commitment in its recommendation to say this notice can be resubmitted, and we make a commitment to go and visit Gunderland to meet with all the relevant stakeholders to see how has the status of the municipality affected other stakeholders. Remember, if there's a financial challenge in the municipality, other services, especially the four main basic services, which is water, sanitation, electricity, refuse removal, tend to be affected. So the service delivery element is very crucial. And also we need to understand so far what has been done by the recovery plan that the MEC have tabled, so that we can ascertain and appreciate the work that has been done or not have been done, the MEC, in terms of the administrator that has been deployed in that municipality. So in summary, this intervention is procedurally incorrect, but again, we need to entertain also the other issues that the municipality still confronts, because besides the technical issues that has not been complied with, there are challenges in Gunderland municipality. Chair, I think I'll summarize at this point.
Thank you very much, our content advisor, for that presentation, which I believe is very clear in terms of procedural flaws that have been highlighted. But as well challenges that face the municipality, which challenges need the support and guidance of this committee going forward. May I check if members would want to make input comments on the matter as presented? Honourable member,
Mr. Chair, thank you. I would just like confirmation from when did the intervention actually start? Because if I look at the correspondence, the correspondence is notice that the provincial executive on the 7th of December resolved to approve steps. So I'd like to know when, on what date, did the intervention start? And then can we request the Western Cape government to give us an official response why they have neglected their constitutional duties? I mean, we are now in the fifth month, and this took place last year, which means they are basically 6 months behind the constitutional requirements for an intervention. So we need to request them to give us an official letter why they have abstained from fulfilling the constitutional mandate. Please, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Nobody?
No, thank you. I'm not sure. Chair Wang Kaula. You should leave the bill. Thank you, Chair. No, thank you, Chair. Let me welcome the presentation that makes it easy. Just want to remind ourselves, the committee says, we set a tone for ourselves last year. Is it last year or year before last year? Last year. We made a groundbreaking decision, a resolution as a committee. And even the council, the chairperson and the INSUPIT at large have complimented us on that matter. To prove to that, and to demystify the fact that the narrative that has been that it seems as if the NSOP is there to rubber stamp. We have done that by demystifying that narrative, saying by applying our mind and also taking into consideration the constitutional requirements that was there as part of our responsibility as a committee to what we should look into. So this was presented to us here, like just the content advisor said. The difference is 7 days to 14 days. But to me, Makana has set a tone for us as a community because we have applied our mind what is in front of us. I would like to recommend to the committee that saying that because of taking into consideration the constitutional flawness that has been done by the MEC and the PEC at large, not to adhere to the procedures of 7 days. And we normally say to the MECs when you go to them during 1-9, don't take that NCOP as a by the way process that we have taken a decision and we inform the minister, the NCOP will by which will do that. We have to apply our minds. But I was also worried that I was trying to check whether we have gone to an inspection in logo, which is most of the time very important to us. Sometimes facts might be misleading people, but when you go there on the ground, sometimes we end up saying, no, we can't approve this intervention. But when you arrive at the ground, the stakeholder says, we want this intervention to take place. So I'm appealing that I want to also to recommend that let us go to as a committee to make an inspection logo, meet with the MEC, invite the MEC, and also invite the stakeholders. We might not have one meeting, but also, but I think it's very important for us to have that. And recommend to the NCOP that this MEC and the province should reverse it and start the process afresh so that it be able for us to be able to entertain what is in front of us. But at the moment, we can't entertain it because of the procedural flawness that has been presented to us. Thank you.
Thank you very much for that input. Are there further inputs from honorable members? Honorable Kwimbi?
Thank you, Chair. Actually, I want to concur with my colleague here that let's have our own space as a committee to go down there and look for these things and call the MEC, explain, and other stakeholders there. And let's not rely to what we are getting here now from the letter. I think we need to go down there and expect to do conquer with my colleague. Let's the MEC must reverse the thing, and we need to go. He must come and report to us what's going on, and we need to go down there and check whether these things are exactly what is it in the letter. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Mlanga. Yeah, no, thank you, Chair. I think I'll also be singing the very song, the very same song. But one thing that I want to emphasize, Chair, is what Honorable Engelbrecht has said. We need to really write and a memo to the MEC for them to explain why did they do this flaws. That is very important. That should be our first step before whatever we do. Then, of course, I will, of course, support the motion that as a committee, we, of course, re-advise them that they can also re-petition or re-submit their intervention proposal to the NCOP. But we must also go on the ground and do our visibility study. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Engelbrecht.
Mr. Chair, thank you. We didn't have time to go through all this information before the time, so I did make a comment earlier on which I unfortunately will have to reverse, because if I have a look at the document that we received from the Western Cape, if we have a look at this, it is actually dated on the 21st of the 12th, 2016, which means that our officers received it in December, which means that the Western Cape then did actually act within the constitutional requirements of 7 days, because this was within 7 days. So we've got to be very, very careful that we don't make fools of ourselves, because they have followed the constitutional ruling on a section 139. And then my question is, why are we then only following it up now? That means we have not been following up and we have not been taking action. So we are actually then the liable parties for not following up on this. And I think that we've got to make very sure of our facts on this one. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. This is the way forward. I think we're all in agreement based on the legality of what has been presented to us. So let's just stick to that firstly, okay? So we don't confuse ourselves and get caught up and embarrass ourselves later on when the Western Gate comes and tells us that it's really on our side and not their side, just to save this committee embarrassment. So I'm saying, Chairperson, legally, let's stick to what is the legal compliance, and then we covered. If I read the letter from Advocate Pinar as well, he states that they've already got a letter prepared. And if you read it, you go to 4.4. In the event that the chairperson is in agreement with our proposed outline above, we have prepared letters to the provincial minister, the chairperson of the Select Committee, and the club for your signature. So it's already in place. Procedurally, we'll be covered by that. And then I'm saying, let's piggyback on what the Honorable Manopula has said. That as a committee, we've set a standard where we will go on site and do our own investigation. And I will then cover what Honorable Mshlanga wanted to say. Instead of asking them to write back to us, whilst we are there, the MEC will make himself present and then answer to us. So we cover everything. We comply with what we as a committee are taking a decision on implementing, that we will go there and firsthand see what's going on. So this way, Chairperson, I think, will be protecting the integrity of the committee as well, that we are sticking to what's legally compliant as well as exercising our oversight by being present on the ground. And it's for the committee to take a decision as to when and how soon that we can go to Kanaland and put that meeting together. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. It looks like members are finding each other on the other issue that was raised about a procedural flaw that we thought is there, but there is some clarity. We agreed that we should take the route proposed by Honorable Chedi and Engelbrecht, Honorable Engelbrecht earlier on, in terms of not pursuing the issue of a time frame that we thought was not followed. May I get guidance on that one?
Chair, I think Honorable Mfoko has to respond to that, because the question was posed to him to clarify the date. Says it's
Okay.
Because what I'm reading there in front of me, what comes from Dr. Advocate Pindeli, is something different. Maybe Dr. Mosamfuku, it means you are on the way to do a PhD. Huh? Well, I'm addressing you as a doctor. So, please, if you can respond, then you can take it from there, Chair.
Doctor, do you want to respond?
Chair, I'm not a doctor yet, but the studies are underway. I wanted to say, Honorable Engelbert, the dates are clear. Intervention started on the 7th December. If you can check also the letter of the MEC, it's dated 21st December, that is 14 days. And then on the same date, the MEC, which is the 21st, between 7 and 21st is 14 days. On the 21st, that's when the NCOP received that notification. The issue of procedures is very important because these matters are contested sometimes in court. So, and then also the committee, when in the application of intervention, is guided by the Constitution. Here, in this instance, the Constitution is very clear. If the provision of Section 139, subsection 6, which talks about notifying the NCOP, are not met, then it makes or it renders the provincial executive with no authority to intervene. But those procedures can be refollowed again. But again, as my main emphasis, beside the procedures, was the issues and the challenges that are there. Hence, I concur with everybody when they say the MEC must be invited. We also need to go and do local inspection for the appreciation of what is currently being done to address the challenge. But the issue of date is very clear. The MEC also attests to that date by his signature on the 21st.
Honorable Angela.
Mr. Chair, thank you. I think, you know, when it comes to intervention of a municipality, this is very important and very critical that we react as fast as possible. My question then is, why do we as a committee only get this intervention now, which is 4 months after we received it? Thank you.
Okay. I think the earlier point is now clarified. Honorable Engelbrecht is now raising another matter to say, as a committee, why is it only now that we are intervening? I'm not very sure as to whether we want to go deeper into that, but can I ask before that? Okay.
You know, can you please assist us to manage this meeting? I'm raising this because of, we need to address the first question of clarity that was raised by Honorable Engelbrecht to say she's fine so that we can move on. Now she's not raising, responding to what the clarity. The clarity, she seeks the clarity, and the clarity was provided to. After the clarity was provided, now she asked a new question of clarity. You see, because we want to assist her so that we can all together be having same understanding. Because myself and the other members get impression we had good understand the presentation that was made to us by Mr. Mfuku that there was a constitutional fraudness. The 7 days were not adhered to. She said to us in this committee, it seems the data she's getting, it seems that the province, the MEC complied to. There was nothing wrong. She wanted clarity that the Mr. Mfuku must provide the date. Mr. Mfuku provided the date. She was supposed to have certain that she's been clarified, she's fine, so that when we present our motion again, because of earlier on it seems that she was not sure about what we have presented, because I have got it very clear that this constitutional fraudness that has been done, then as we advise the province saying that, because I want us to raise consensus as in this committee, not to leave other members outside, not understand this. When you move out of this meeting, there are other members who are not together. Because normally, as a committee, we operate as consensus. I'm appealing to her, Chair. Can you take it to her that she's fine, so that when we move to another matter, we're able to close that matter and be able to understand each other. Thank you, Chair.
First of all, I am chairing the meeting effectively. She is now clarified, no? She's raising another matter, and I think it is within her rights, no, to then check as to why is it only now, no, that we are dealing with the matter, and there's nothing wrong with it. May I check with our committee secretary as to what...
President Chair, I just want to indicate to members that from a programming point of view, members will recall that we wanted to conduct oversight visit to Canada, and that week, from NCOP point of view, was meant for oversight. And we cancelled that oversight. Now, noting that in terms of the constitution, there's a constitutional time frame where committee section or the committee has to report to the National Council of Provinces. We then scheduled this meeting so that the committee can make a determination on this matter. But Chair, just for members to make a decision on this matter, I just want to put on record that the MEC Western Cape has also tabled a progress report in respect of this intervention. And the chairperson is of the view that despite procedural related matters, substantive matters, we need as a committee to go to the municipality so that members can interact with both the internal and external stakeholders. But just to say, the committee all the time program this intervention.
I think we are now on the same page in terms of what has happened, the status of this particular matter, and we need to go back to what has been proposed by members as a way forward. Listening to the inputs made, among other things that have arisen as part of the way forward, is one that we need to note the late tabling of the notice by the provincial government of the Western Cape. Number two, that we note the progress report tabled by the MEC. Number three, that as this committee, we are resolving that we need to undertake an oversight visit to Canaanland as soon as possible so that we satisfy ourselves as members of this committee about all these issues, these challenges that have been highlighted, so that we're able to come back and table the necessary report at the NCOP level. Are we agreed on that as part of the way forward? Those 3 points. Honorable Manopoul.
Thank you, Chair. In the 5 items that you have presented, the one of progress report, I can't note the progress report that I have not seen. So I myself do not agree to that point, because that progress report was tabled to the chairperson, not to the committee yet. It has not been forwarded to a committee yet. That is one of under 5 points. The other point that I would like to add, I think you have been omitted. As much as we noted the procedural flawedness, we need to make a recommendation on that. So my recommendation is this. We advise the province that they must resubmit the intervention process. So my dilemma in this another of inspection in loco, because it's important for us to table this report in the NCOP as well, because this was tabled to us, and then we are considering it so that we know that. We have received and we have noted that there are procedural flaws that was there. So we therefore recommend, notwithstanding the substantive matters that are there in the municipality, but we note and recommend that if the province will still notice that the substantive issues are still persistent, they can resubmit the intervention to the committee. My dilemma is this. Are we going to make inspection in loco before we ask them to resubmit? Because what are we going to do with inspection in loco? Because we have saying that we are nullifying the intervention because of not what was not processed. Those are the dilemma that I'm saying. We need to take that into consideration. That I would advise that let us first go and table the report, then say that resubmit. After the resubmit, then we go there and make the inspection in loco. So that all of us, our work should be done in a chronological manner. Thank you.
Yeah. May we address ourselves to the last pertinent issue that is now being raised? I think with regard to the first correction that she made, I think she's indeed very correct. That as we note the late submission of the notice or tabling of the notice, we should in the same breath advise the provincial government to resubmit if they are still of the view that that intervention is necessary. I think on that one we are at one. But I think she's now raising the issue as to the timing of our visit Do we do it after the resubmission of the notice or before? Will it be correct? Can we clarify each other on that one? Honorable Mtlanga.
Hey, Chair. Thank you, Chair. Chair, I don't know whether I do and follow our discussion here correctly. Of course, we, as the committee, we detect that there are constitutional flaws there. But we acknowledge that already, as the province has already executed this. Okay? So practically on the ground, in that municipality, maybe it was even tabled during the mayoral committee meeting when they were stated that we are under administration or under this intervention. Therefore, my take will be that, Chair. Of course, as Honorable Mapulo is saying, let's advise them what should they do after, before. But while advising them, because this thing is already on, we must cover time, cover space as a committee. We cannot wait until they resubmit their intervention process. But because even us, maybe we're going to table the report in the NCOP next week or next month. So you see, we're still delaying the process. I would really rather say, as a committee, we rather opt for us to be safe, go on the ground, while waiting all these other processes to unfold. Because already the intervention they've already executed it on the ground. So let's go and get the feeling of the people. While we come back to recommend, at least we know now what is the actual sense, actual feeling of the masses on the ground, or the working force on the ground. Thank you.
Let's address ourselves to the issue. Let's ourselves as to whether is there anything wrong in us as a committee going there prior to receiving the resubmission. Is there anything wrong? Sure. Honorable Engelbrecht.
Mr. J, I think I'm speaking out of turn because I want to just address something else, so maybe we should just finish with it first and then I'll come back again. Thank you.
So, this one. Okay, that's fine.
I wanted to raise something and remind ourselves a committee, but now because it's the content that it might be, because if I can recall, honorable members, when we went to Magana, the content advisor advised us also we need to also check the constitution. We are saying that this thing was flawed. And if you go in there now doing the inspection in Logo, what are we going to do? Remember, when we went to Magana, we picked it up when we were there that the constitution were flawed, were some flawed. So we came there and tabled the report. After they tabled the report and advised them, they resubmit. After they resubmit and we went there again, to do the correct process. So now I'm asking to the committee, we are nullifying this intervention, but you still want to go there and do the inspection in Logo. That really makes sense. We are sending two signals that saying that this is wrong, however, but you are coming. We are not saying that there are no substantive matters there. We acknowledge that there might be substantive matters, but you see, supposed to follow it. Because as soon as it's for us to speed up the process to table the report to the NCOP and the NCOP write the letter to the province so that the province can do that speedily and be able to. It can be done within a month, and then within a month we have gone there and be able to address this matter. We can say maybe I might be wrong. The content advisor can check whether my view on this matter, because I'm taking to what we have done last year, the approach we have done in the previous dilemma that we were in. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks for that. I think we are getting somewhere. I think within the next few minutes. Honorable Chair.
Chair, yeah. Simple. Two sentences will cover exactly what Honorable Malapula said. We cannot go there and regularize an irregular act. Because you already said it's irregular. Your presence there is going to say you're regularizing it, but saying you identify that it's correct. That something was wrong, that's why we're doing it. And that's what I'm saying to you. I concur with them, that's what we will have to do. If you go back to initially what I had said, and we stick to the resolution I've made, we've been covered in done. Seriously, Chairperson. I think we're going around and round and round in circles now with this whole issue. It's simple. It's an irregular act. We've got to how to comply with it. And the second part about the oversight visit, it is imperative that we do it, but we do it in a regular matter. That's all I'm saying, Chairperson. And I agree with what I'm saying.
Honorable Chair, Honorable Anglebrecht.
Mr. Chair, thank you. I'd just like to know from the content advisor, what's the difference between a 139.5 and a 139.6? Because both of them are mentioned in the documentation that we have. If I can just get clarity on that, please.
Honorable Engelbrecht, subsection 1396 is not an intervention more than it says. If the provincial executive intervenes in terms of section 139, subsection 5, it must submit a written notice of the intervention to the cabinet member responsible for local government and also to the National Council of Provinces. It's just a procedural matter to say if you intervene in terms of section 139, subsection 5, then 6 is saying you must submit the notice within 7 days. And then also I concur with other members that have said, like, currently the intervention based on procedural flaws, it's irregular. So it renders the provincial executive with no jurisdiction to intervene. So at this point, we cannot further entertain the intervention until it correctly and procedurally followed. Then the other oversight visit can be entertained after that.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Honorable Members. I think it was necessary to go in the manner we did so that we understand these issues the same way. And we're able to take... Okay. So we're agreeing that we are noting the report on intervention as presented, but most importantly that we are noting that the notice for intervention was actually submitted late. And based on that, we are agreeing that we need to put together a report to the ANCOP to highlight these things and also recommend the NCOP to write formally to the provincial government of the Western Cape and so that they can be advised to resubmit the notice. Only when that resubmission has been done, can we then meet and then chart the way forward as to what is that we need to do as this committee. But for now, I think the matter is left at that. Agreed, members? Okay, thank you very much. Yeah, I think I'm advised that the report should be ready by tomorrow. Okay, yeah, okay, thank you very much. So the report should be tabled tomorrow in the NCOP. Eh? Yes. Thank you very much. In terms of the agenda, we are at item number 5, and without much ado, may I declare this meeting officially closed. Not agenda closed.
Thank you. Let me back to you.